Hello, Daddy Gang. Happy New Year. I hope you guys had the absolute best New Year, whether you stayed home, watched a movie, drank some tea, or you went out and raged your face off and blacked out and made out with someone that you wish you hadn't, or maybe you made out with the person that you always wanted to make out with, or you didn't have a New Year's kiss, but you had the time of your life. Whatever it is, happy motherfucking New Year. Daddy Gang, this year is going to be absolutely insane. Bruce. I'm trying to do an intro for Call Her Daddy. Bruce, do you want to do the intro for this week? I will be back next week, but I clearly need to go train my dog. I picked one of my favorite episodes to re-release this week. You guys remember our favorite gal, Renee Rapp. Since Renee Rapp came on, Daddy Gang, she had her new album come out. She is going to be in the new Mean Girls movie. Renee is everywhere. She has had such an incredible year and I'm so, so happy for her. So I figured why not relive our glory days with Renee. She sings at the end of this episode. Make sure you stay till the end because her voice is literally angelic. Bruce is having a mental breakdown, so I gotta go. So Daddy Gang, enjoy, and I will see you guys next week for a very exciting episode. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Renee Rapp, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thanks, man.
I am so happy to have you here. Every fucking other DM on Instagram is like, please have Renee on. Please have Renee on. I'm like, I know I want to have her on. Everyone come down. It's going to fucking happen. So I'm so happy that we're giving the people what they want today.
Always.
Let's update the people on how you're feeling. You're a little hungover.
Yeah.
What did you do last night?
Well, I went. So there was a Spotify party last night because it's Grammy week.
I was supposed to go to that.
Well, good thing you're seeing me today, not last night. Because sometimes, most of the time, when I get drunk or sober, me and my friends always like get in fights and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not with each other, with other people.
Oh, okay. Note to self, don't run into Renee when I'm drunk.
No, genuinely don't, actually. Because also, it's not a good representation of who I am.
So you are like the moment right now. I feel like everyone is fucking talking about you. You're everywhere. I was just telling you before, like I'm scrolling on TikTok and every other fucking scroll is you. And yeah. I told you, I'm like, thank fucking God it's you though, because I actually like you. Have that one person on your algorithm, you're like, get the fuck off my page.
Bro, you're like, please leave me alone.
Yeah. But actually, how does it feel to be where you're at in your career right now?
I feel like it feels like equal parts exciting and equal parts scary. And also, like, the biggest part of it is, like, I talked so much shit my whole life about doing this. So, like, thank fucking God I'm finally doing it. Because I think, like, it would have been, like, really embarrassing if it didn't work out.
You're saying, like, you would tell everyone, like, oh, I'm going to fucking make it. I'm going to be a singer or an actress. Or
I literally, like, when I was in fifth grade, I told my parents, I was like, I'm not going to college. I'm going to be Beyonce.
Where did you get that confidence, do you think?
I have no idea. It's like delusion. It's all delusion. I genuinely don't fucking know.
You just like always knew you were meant to be a performer and you loved it.
100%. I always only ever wanted to do music. Like that was just like it. I was just like, I was like writing songs before I could like talk. Like there's like videos of me like naked while I was a child. There's like videos of me like nah.
You're not creepily, but like
as like a child, like in like a diaper with like a harmonica, like making like what would be like a song and shit like that, and then like writing things.
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle.
2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com.
Okay, so you grew up in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Which, when I was like getting prepared for this interview, I was like, why did I think you're like a city girl? Like, you come off as like born and raised in New York. And then you do give like,
oh my God,
I don't know, maybe you just like give that energy. And so I was like, wow, you're from the South.
I lie a lot and say that I'm from Charlotte. I'm like technically from outside of Charlotte, mm-hmm. in like a town called Huntersville, which is just like hick.
What was your high school experience like?
High school was wild for me because my first 2 years in high school, I went to like a normal high school. And then I transferred to an art school because it's a very like long-winded thing. But being that I wanted to be Beyonce and I didn't want to go to college. Yeah, I had to. And my parents were like, my dad was like kicking me out of the house. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? You don't think you're going to go to college? I was like, bet that, I'm gonna show you. And so high school was weird because I was in a regular high school for the first 2 years and I absolutely hated myself and it just sucked.
Why did you hate yourself?
I was like such an overly emotional kid always, and I still am like a very like hyper emotional person, and I just like, I think like I come off very hard, at least I thought I used to. And I am so sensitive. And so I think like the like duality of me like coming across kind of hard and like confident and like cool and like very chill. And then like actually like everything fucking hurting me like beyond belief, yeah. was nauseating. And I also had horrible friends, like horrible friends. And I had really horrible friends when I was a kid. And so it was just like years of like me like despising who I was emotionally. Mm-hmm. My friends and my friends' mothers despising who I was. Period. End of that sentence. And it was just crazy. But then when I switched to the arts high school, I kind of started just like doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was still actually like trash. And like the friends' moms hating me like got like 10 times worse.
Wait, why are these moms hating you?
Yeah, let me fucking tell you. So so the theater mommies didn't like me. Mm-hmm. They did not fuck with me. They created a group chat about me. I was told through my friends that there was this group chat that was basically them like shitting on the like high school musical casting process and shitting on the fact that I had da 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 whatever. And I was like, okay, so grown people are also stupid. Because I was like, you're 40 plus year old women hating on a teenager.
Right.
For your kid's sake, that's embarrassing.
I can actually relate a lot to you saying like you almost have this like really hard exterior, mm-hmm. but inside you're super sensitive.
Very.
But I'm assuming you're like in those situations like high school, it can be off-putting to some kids of like, why is she so cocky and confident in all of this? Where it's like,
100%.
I'm having to at times fake it so I believe in myself.
Absolutely.
But which, it can be off-putting to other people.
100%.
So socially, you're like, I'm just trying to fucking be Beyonce over here, okay? Yeah. And trying to get out of Charlotte.
Thank you for seeing me.
Yes. Yeah. But I get where like in those like high school environments,
yeah.
it can be like very like, well, she's the fucking bitch or she's this and she's that. When it's really like, well, why do you think Renee is acting this way? Like, maybe she's feeling whatever it was. Like,
totally. Well, and also, like, to be clear, like, I don't think it absolves me from ever being a bitch. Because, like, mm-hmm. I can remember thousands of times in, like, school growing up that I was a total bitch.
Yeah.
Completely. Which I think, like, and maybe not everybody feels this way. Maybe I really am just a bitch. But, like, I, like, can remember, like, so many things from my childhood that I'm like, holy shit, I cannot believe I fucking did that. Or, oh my God, I can't believe I said that.
If you had to try to get underneath it, like, why do you think you have that, like, anger in you?
I have anger issues. I have a mood disorder. Like, okay. I just, like, I have, like, my different little, like, mental health things.
Yeah.
But I think, like, now I understand it so much better.
Right.
Because I just am I'm so emotional.
Yeah.
I'm just really, really, really super sensitive.
When you said, like, you would lie about being from Charlotte, mm-hmm. why would you lie about that?
I, like, resented, like, being from, like, the, like, South so yeah. much. And also, like, where I grew up in Charlotte, mm-hmm. or,
Right.
Where I grew up in Huntersville, mm-hmm. Is, like, super, like, ass backwards and, like, very conservative. At least it was when I was a kid. And so, like, I just felt, like, very, I was, like, I just really do not fit here. Yeah. I was, like, I do not fit here. Like, I felt like everybody was, like, super, like, fucked and, like, homophobic and, like, just, like, not fun and great. And it just, like, sucked.
Which I feel like then, like, again, makes sense of, like, that recipe for, like, you pushing against the yeah. grain of what everyone else was doing. Feeling like you weren't meant to be there career-wise and mm-hmm. also with your sexuality being from the South and having, like, you're saying, everyone being, like, homophobic. When did you start to, like, explore your sexuality?
When I was 14, I, like, was doing a musical, and this girl who was the lead of the musical, like, just looked super, like, I don't know, she was just, like, different. Like, she had, like, red, like, spiky hair, and, like, she never wore a bra, and, like, that was so nice to me. That was nice. I was like, that's, she's different, you know? Because, like, growing up in fucking Huntersville, like, it was just, like, I was, like, damn. But, yeah, she was just, like, so cute to me. And she was much older than me, and she carried herself with just, like, the most, like, amazing demeanor ever. Mm-hmm. Of, like, I felt like she was just, like, super, like, fuck it. Like, whatever. Yeah. And I was just, like, obsessed with her. And I figured out one day, I went home, because I genuinely, and this is, like, I don't know if this is a bad thing or if it's not, but honestly, I was just, like, so intrigued by her. Mm-hmm. And, like, she never wore a bra, which was amazing. But I was, like, I cannot stop looking at this girl's boobs. Like, that was the moment that I was, like, oh.
Okay.
And I went home, and I started full-blown crying, had a meltdown. I was, like, oh, my God, I'm gay. I was, like, damn it. I was like, that's crazy. Because, like, I had never heard anything surrounding that in a positive light. Because the one, like, queer person that I knew in my life is a family member of mine who I really looked up to, who got absolutely shitted on by everybody in our family. And so all I ever heard was, like, oh, like, and she was bisexual at the time. They were like, oh, well, she needs to pick a side. And, like, oh, well, she's, you know, she's whatever, whatever. You shouldn't be around her, kind of thing. Like, you never know who's going to, like, make you gay. Genuinely. And so I had a full-blown panic attack. And I was laying in my bed, and I was screaming, crying, which is hilarious in hindsight. Because, like, imagine, like, 14-year-old me, like, screaming, crying. I'm gay! Ah! You know, I was like, oh, my God! And also, I was like, well, gotta pick a side, have to be a lesbian. So I decided that I would call my friend at the time, and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian. And she was like, oh, I'm okay, cool. And I was like, yeah, and I'm like fighting through tears. But I was like, I just like hated everything about that as a kid. And so she was like, okay, so do you think you like don't like boys at all? And I was like, no, I still do. But I'm a lesbian, though. I'm a lesbian. And she was like, I don't know about that. And I was like, nah, man, like, gotta be one. Gotta pick a side. Gotta do it. So I was like, I'm a lesbian. She was like, I think you're bisexual. I was like, you're kidding. And that was so intriguing to me. And then, yeah.
That's so interesting, too, because I bet mm-hmm. so many people watching and listening are like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I had such a similar experience. Like, this was my sexual awakening, and then all of a sudden I remember being in my room and like trying to figure out how I'm gonna handle this because the people around me in my life do not at all like accept anything other yeah. than a heterosexual relationship.
Totally.
How did you tell your parents, and how did they react?
So I think like for a really long time I thought that I just like never like officially had like a coming out thing, because I would always say, I was like, I just, like, never really came out because I just felt so incredibly accepted and, like, and fine. And I actually think now, after like doing like so much work in therapy and also just like growing up and living, you know, away from home and whatever, I was just like laughed at every time I tried to come out. Like I was just laughed at. So then I like never really talked about it. And I had always just said, I was like, I just was one of those people that never felt like they really had to come out. And to be honest, like, I feel like my genuine, like, coming out to my family, mm-hmm. close and extended, has been doing College Girls. Because now that part of me is, like, on display in a very palatable way. Mm-hmm. Which I think is also, like, kind of fucked up in a way that I'm like, yeah, like, now I'm, like, on a TV show and I'm, like, very publicly, like, out and accepted as a bisexual woman and on the show, like, as a gay woman and a lesbian woman. Now, like, it's, like, really cool for everybody. And everybody's like, yeah, oh, my God, amazing. I did not have that same support as a kid. And so I resent it in a lot of ways. It's still really, really hard because I never, like, fully will believe that somebody who, like, treated me like that as a kid is now really accepting of it. I'm like, you just like it now because it's like comfortable for you. And it's like something exciting that you can like romanticize around my life.
Now, if you have like a little bit of hindsight, like how do you think that affected how you like viewed your self-worth?
Like horribly, horribly. Like the first year doing College Girls was terrible. Really? It was terrible. Yeah, it sucked so bad. Because at the time I was in a heteronormative relationship. And I, like, hated going to work because I was like, I don't think I'm, like, good enough to be here. I don't think, like, I can be here. I don't think I can be doing this. And I was like, maybe I'm just, like, trying too hard. And then I would, like, come home and I would psych myself out, literally. And I will never forget, like, I, like, sat on my, like, front porch and I, like, called one of my friends and I was like, I am straight. I was like, I think I'm just straight. I can't do this. And they were like, what the fuck is going on with you? And I was like, I don't know, but I can't. And I was just like in a panic constantly. And I wasn't, but I was so freaked out by the idea of like my sexuality not being like finite or people laughing at me or like me laughing at myself. Yeah. That I hated the first year of filming.
How did you decide to take on a character that plays a lesbian?
I was just so, thanks man, that was the cutest thing ever. I was just so excited when I got the audition too, because like I felt like that was again like a part of me that I'd like only like my friends really like knew about. Like I was then like a lot more comfortable with it as I got older, but like I remember like getting that audition breakdown and being so excited because I'd also never been like submitted to audition for like a queer character, and I was like it was so exciting,
right?
And so then like doing the job being such a mind fuck was like so scary, because also like, you know, I'm like on a show that like there are a lot of gay men around, there are a lot of straight men around, there are a lot of older men around me on set, right? So I'm going through set doing these scenes and I'm also having gay men come up to me and be like, so like, are you like really gay? Like you just play again? And I was like, ugh. And I know that sounds like such a little like frou-frou thing. And I also understand there's like an immense level of like difference when it comes to like people who are bisexual. Specifically also like I'm a cis white woman who is bisexual, right? Like that's also loaded in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. It still really like fucking pissed me off, and it made me just like second guess everything about myself. And so I felt like I was, to no one else's real fault except for like my like formative childhood years and myself, I was beating myself up so much.
It's like a mind fuck for you probably to be playing a character that's struggling coming out while you're also still struggling with your sexuality, and then people are like, wait, are you actually fucking gay?
It was,
and you're
like, so crazy.
Wow.
It was so crazy. And I also just, like, the biggest part of it was, like, I really, like, I wanted so badly to do a good job. Mm-hmm. Like, not even really as an actor. Like, yeah, that was, like, a part of it. But I was just, like, whatever. I was, like, if I'm not good at acting, they'll just fire me and that'll be easier.
Yeah.
But, like, I wanted to play the role in a way that, like, if I saw it as a kid, it would like feel good to me. And so I also like wanted to do a good job so bad that I was just like so nervous all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like so much the first season.
What is your relationship now with your parents?
It's like great now, I think. Like, I think it's wild because like I just turned 23. Mm-hmm. So I'm even like discovering like so much about my relationship with my family now. Mm-hmm. My dad is my best friend in the whole wide world. And it's so interesting because we like would go at it growing up, like go at it. And like I was a fucking madhouse as a kid. Like I was a monster. Mm-hmm. And also I was told that I was, like, to be clear, like my family, extended family, friends like referred to me as like a ticking time bomb. Like, that doesn't feel great as a kid. It really doesn't. And also to be, like, the, like, girl child in the family and to be, like, told, like, you're constantly so dramatic and so emotional and to actually, under the surface of all of that, like, have a massive anxiety disorder was really crazy. But I say all that to say, I'm very close with my parents now. And getting out of the house, like, changed a lot of it. Because when I did the whole like theater thing, right, like go to the art school, try to win this and then try to get a job working in New York, and then very luckily like did, that's not wood but okay, and I'm like woohoo, I started working in Mean Girls on Broadway. Yep. And I was really, really sick. Had a horrible eating disorder, and I was laying in my bed in New York, and I remember FaceTiming my parents, and I was like, I cannot go to work. I was like, I can't do it. Like, I can't go to that place. Like, I physically cannot be there. This is scaring the shit out of me. Like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I can't put on those costumes, not after everything that's happened, not after changing my costumes, not after this whole thing. Like, that was not my decision. I can't be there. I'm a kid. I'm a fucking kid. My parents changed their attitude from, you're so dramatic, to, oh, holy shit. Like, there are things that are happening to you publicly, and you don't have control over them. We are flying to New York, and we're going to come and get you.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, like, to everyone that doesn't know the full, like, the timeline of your careers, like, after high school, you moved to New York City, and you get the role as Regina George in Broadway.
Yeah.
Did you get an eating disorder while on Broadway?
I had an eating disorder starting, I like now know, mm-hmm. When I was 10. Okay. It started, I was like, I danced competitively my whole life, and it was really like a mind fuck on me. Mm-hmm. It was just bad. And then it like changed when I got into Mean Girls, because it went from like a binge eating disorder to like, I'm not eating at all. And it was really tough.
When you said they, like, changed your costumes, like, what do you mean?
My costumes were changed, and it was not my decision.
Like, changed as in, like, sizing or, like, the actual outfit?
The actual outfit that I was wearing. So I was in the show, and I was just, like, more curvy than, like, the other girl who had done it and the other girls who had been in the role. And I was like, there was an outfit in the beginning, or no, somewhere like through the thing, that was like a corset. It's like a Halloween thing. It was like a corset and like fishnets, and like no pants, obviously, because it's like a corset, and it's like a little da da da, right? So I'm already like wildly insecure and like super uncomfortable. And then certain people came to see the show, who I don't know or work with anymore. And then, like, all of a sudden, I, like, got a call from somebody who worked on the show that was like, hey, by the way, I just want to let you know we're sending you into these fittings, and we're just going to, like, change some costumes. I'm really sorry. And I was like, really sorry? I was like, what do you mean? And they were like, yeah, I know. It's just like, you know, if it's nothing that makes you comfortable, then, like, totally just, like, tell us, and, like, we can just, like, go back to the old ones. But, like, we're going to send you into this fitting. And so I was really confused. And so I remember calling my mom and being like, why did I just get called that, like, I'm going into another fitting? I was like, this is kind of weird. And she was like, no, I think it's fine. And I was like, okay. So I go into the fitting, and I saw that, like, they were putting, like, a skirt over my corset and stuff. And I knew when I got in there, I was like, oh, I know what this is for. I was like, I know exactly what this is. And because I could tell by the demeanor of the costumers and the people, they were like, we're so sorry. And I was like 19 years old, and I was like, oh, fuck. Mind you, at the time, I'm already in the show and getting, like, horrific messages from people online that's like, we didn't even want to be at the show because we saw that your, like, ass was hanging out and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mind you, I'm, like, then I'm going into interviews as a teenager, and, like, the constant, like, thing that everyone is asking me is, like, how does it feel being, like, a curvy woman playing a role and da-da-da-da? I'm like, A, I'm a teenager. B, this is also a wildly loaded conversation because now you're going to say that I am a bigger person, then you're also in a weird way taking up space for people who are actually like bigger bodied than mine that should actually have the nature for that conversation in the space. But it was just like a very fucked up sort of time in my life. So they changed my costumes and I went in to go do my like put in rehearsal for the show, and I was the only one in a costume, and I like turned around and the whole cast, who was amazing, like everybody like turned around and looked at me, and I could see immediately on everybody's face that everybody in that fucking building had known what happened, and I wanted to die because they were like, oh, holy shit. And I was like mortified.
How the fuck did you get through that moment?
To be honest, everybody around me lied to me and said that it wasn't a problem, and it was a thing where they just wanted to highlight my body. So it was like also nauseating, but also like the weird thing was I didn't talk to anybody about it because I know where this whole thing came from, and it did not come from like Tina or Lauren or anybody who I love who works on that show and who I'm about to work with again. Like, it came from nobody who I respected and loved. Mm-hmm. And so it was really difficult because I was also then like really battling like being very sick and having to pull out of the show all the time because I wasn't eating at all during the day. So I would get on stage and I would like be like shaking and like about to pass out, and people would be like, oh, she's having an anxiety attack, let's pull her out for the show. Mind you, I haven't eaten in like 24 hours. It was horrible. So yeah, I remember like people who were close to me in my life were just like, I think it's just, like, a thing where they want to, like, you know, highlight your curves. And I was like, you think? I was like, I'm pretty sure that, like, a grown-ass man just, like, told me that, like, I'm not a size to be wearing this on a stage. But, yeah.
Right. You're like, I'm not a fucking idiot. Don't insult me. Like, you're already insulting me. Like,
it was exhausting. Happening. Yeah.
When you were living in New York during that time, like, did you have friends in New York? Like, what was your social life like?
Yeah, I had friends. Mm-hmm. I had friends, but my life, like, really just revolved around work.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, really revolved around, like, being really sick. Like, mm-hmm. sadly, like, I just would wake up and, like, try to not eat all day and then go to work and then, like, drink and go home.
At what point did you start to feel like you were recovering or like getting closer to accepting your body and like eating healthier?
Like 4 months ago, and also like never. It's a really like tough, like loaded sort of conversation, because it changed a lot, because I would think that I was getting better, but actually I would be getting worse. But in my brain I was like, and this is such a fucked up way of thinking, but my brain was going, oh, you're able to eat less. Oh, you must be like doing better, because I associated that with good. So it was really, really hard. So I feel like a couple months ago, but then again, like also like never.
Yeah, like how does it feel? Because I'm assuming like it does it negatively affect you that like you have to watch yourself on screen and like watch yourself like in videos, or like is that okay? Like, does that trigger you?
I think so. I think it negatively affects me. I think what more so negatively affects me are comments. Mm-hmm. Not comments online, like comments I receive on set. Those comments I don't like. And I don't mean that these are like malicious people coming for me. I mean that these are things that I've actually probably said to people in the last 5 years that I can't believe I've actually said that. Like, I had somebody say to me that like this really like sent me into a fucking spiral. Again, they were not trying to be malicious, but I was like, hey, can I please get out of this costume? Like, I don't feel like I can do my best work in this. Can I just like have some pants or something? I'm really afraid today. And I had already been super transparent about like, I was like, hey, I love you. I respect you so much. I'm really struggling. So if I ever need to change something, please know it has nothing to do with your work and it's everything internally for me. I just want to be really transparent about that because it'd be unfair if I didn't. And they would just be like, oh my God, but that like looks so slimming on you. And that like makes you look so slim. And I'd be on set and I'd be like, I'd be like, oh my God. And I know that they were not trying to be malicious, which is the hard part, right? Because I'm like, I in this moment would love to literally slap the shit out of you. But I understand where you're coming from because I guarantee I've said that to someone before.
Right. You're just like, can you, everyone stop fixating on my body? Because I do it enough myself.
Yes.
So please shut the fuck up.
Yes.
With regard to your music career, a lot of your music is about heartbreak, falling in love, getting hurt. What is like the biggest heartbreak you've ever experienced?
The biggest heartbreak that I've ever experienced is I was in a relationship and I was like very much in love with someone and I was really invested and I was really also invested in myself and that made someone in their family very uncomfortable that I was super into my career and that I didn't think my career should make anybody like feel bad. And so the fucked up part is I started hiding my successes from my partner and their family because I knew that if they found out, they were not going to be happy with me. And they were going to be like, what'd she get? I've literally gotten that comment before.
Wow.
And so that was the biggest heartbreak because I was like, damn, like I really made myself that much smaller for that long of a time. To make a man comfortable? I was like, am I the antithesis of everything that I would teach my daughter or my child? I was like, holy shit. It was crazy.
It's so crazy because I relate to that so heavily. And I feel like we're two pretty, like, strong women sitting here. And, like, when you're – I can relate to that. Like, when you're in it and when you're trying to be successful, like, you have to full-heartedly believe in yourself, like we said, even if it's delusional.
Yeah.
And when you're in a relationship with someone that's trying to make you feel less than or make you feel shame for the good shit you're doing, you either hide it or you – essentially kind of pull back on your career to try to make this person happy. But it's like, wait, what the fuck am I doing? I had the same exact situation where I was like, I couldn't talk to him about the good things that was happening because it was like, he's threatened, he's jealous, he's insecure. And then you don't almost, you feel it, but you're trying to hold on to it and like micromanage, like, how can I make this fit?
100%.
And then when you're out, you're like, what the fuck was I doing?
Well, and then the second I was out, like, my entire life changed. Like, the first – because also, like, mind you, this breakup, I – like, was I hurt? Absolutely. But, like, this happened, like, in the weirdest way. And so, like, I literally laughed, like, genuinely. Like, I remember they're like, yeah, I just don't know. And I literally went – I went – I was like, okay. And I hung up the phone.
Bye.
And – and I called my manager. I was like, I just want you to know, this is going to be the greatest motherfucking year of my life. And he was like, what just happened? I was like, oh, I just, you know, we broke up. But I was like, I feel it, like, in my fingers. I don't know how to explain this, but, like, my entire life, it now makes sense to me. And my manager, Adam, was like, are you good? And I was like, honestly, no. I was like, I'm actually not okay at all, but I've never felt better to be myself in my life. And it actually was like very real of like the second that I did not have to make someone comfortable and like stay at whatever level of success or not even success, like at whatever level of like hardworking whatever like woman like felt like to them and felt like to their family, my entire fucking career changed. And that's why this last year has been insane.
Wow.
Because I was like, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do and what I did not allow myself to do around you and what you did not allow me to do around you and what your father didn't allow me to do around you. And I will do it incredibly well. And I will look hot as fuck. And you will exist somewhere. Misogyny is a motherfucker because even it's so – what is such a mind fuck is I'm so incredibly like, oh my God, I would go through – that entire experience 10 times over again and that heartbreak 10 times over again and that abandonment 20 times over again to be where I am right now. I don't give a fuck. Right. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, if you told me go through that again and then you will be an EGOT, hello, I'm going through it twice with two different people at the same time. Break up with me. Leave me.
Let's do this double.
Let's
bitch.
Do it. Let's do it. Run it up. Let's do it again. But misogyny is such a mind fuck in and of the fact that I can say that right now. Yet I still, somewhere in the back of my mind, can be like, are you, like, stepping out of line? Mm-hmm. Like, even as I'm saying that.
Right.
Which is crazy.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Something that really grinds my gears is I somehow will find myself just subscribing to things, right? And then all of a sudden, I see I have been paying this subscription service and I don't even use it because I just forgot to cancel it. Rocket Money can help you cancel a subscription that would otherwise be more time consuming and also you probably forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see anything I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/daddy. That's rocketmoney.com/daddy. rocketmoney.com/daddy. This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Good things come to those who wait. We've all heard that saying somewhere, okay? But sometimes I'm here to say, you got to just go after what you want instead of waiting around for it to happen because most of the time, I'm not going to lie, then you miss out, okay? Personally, I have had moments where I'm hustling to get something done at work and I know I'm going to feel so much better than waiting around and waiting to see if someone's going to ask me to do it. I'm just going to do it myself. And that is why, Daddy Gang, if you want the best people for your company, the same applies. You have to go after it. You have to go after what you want. And thankfully, ZipRecruiter can help put the hustle in your hiring. And even better, you can try it free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter can find top talent for your role very fast. As soon as you post a job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology will go to work and you are going to find a qualified candidate immediately. So let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Daddy Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Daddy Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Do some of your exes know that certain songs are about them?
To be honest, I think I have the kind of exes that I think they probably think every song is about them. And I'm like, girl, actually nothing is about you. Funny enough. I'm like, you're not even on the album. You're not even a thought in the project. I just feel like I have that kind. Maybe I don't. But
do you ever worry though? Like, fuck, maybe I shouldn't put that in because they could think it's about them.
So, yes. I've started to get out of it recently though. Like, I think obviously, like, internet culture, right? Accessibility is through the roof and is crazy and is amazing in a lot of ways. But I always just try to think, like, would Beyonce have taken it out if it came out in 2002? And, like, the answer is, like, Beyonce, Giselle Knowles-Carter would not have. So, no, I'm not going to.
Exactly. Becky with the good hair.
I've only learned from her.
Are you single now?
I am very happy and I am, seeing somebody that makes me, like, really happy, and I feel, like, very appreciated, and I don't feel like I've been made to feel, small, or like I need to make myself smaller to make them comfortable.
Dude, that's great. I'm happy for you. Thanks. Do you have a type?
Yeah, so, like, I've dated so many people in the same fucking font. Like, if you went through, like, the roster for 2021, like, let me fucking tell you, the people, the boys, the girls, like, they all absolutely were from the same mother and father. Like, stop. It is crazy. They're all siblings. And they, like, I will show you, like, where is my phone?
I need this.
Okay, so look.
They're all from the same mother and father. Mm-hmm. I love you.
This is one person, which also, this is horrific.
Oh, my God.
This is one person.
Wait,
no,
what?
No. No, but this is one person, right?
Wait, and his new girl looks like you.
Hello, okay. Wait. And then this one looks like him. Looks like him. And then...
Currently, they're brothers, basically. Well, they look.
But then currently, Matt looks like them.
I fucking knew something was happening. The minute you two walked in the fucking door, I was like, are you fucking friends or are you fucking? What is happening? And I didn't want to say something.
No. I appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
No, I appreciate that.
This makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, everybody looks alike. There was, like...
Very pretty.
Very pretty. But I did have a phase also where I was only dating blonde women. Like, you and I absolutely would have kissed. Like, 100%.
Wait, because that's, like, your character on Sex Lives.
Yes, we still can.
We can?
It's a whole thing.
The internet's like, do it.
Do it.
While your partner's, like, in the fucking room.
Do it. No, but yeah.
Please.
But it's, like, I did have a phase where it was all people that
looked
like
me. Why do you think
me.
That?
I'm subliminally a method actor. I never thought I would be one of those girls, but I really am. Anything she's going through, I'm going through. I didn't have chlamydia,
I did.
Oh, rip.
How has been managing fame and, like, friendships and relationships? Like, how are you dealing with it?
The coolest thing is that, like, I just felt so embarrassed for being so sensitive and so emotional as a kid. And now that is literally my job, is to talk about how emotional and sensitive I am. And though that is sometimes scary and I still get in my head about it, believe it or fucking not, I now have, like, a community of people around me that actually, like, celebrate that part of me, which is very different from how I was viewed as a kid, because I was always made fun of or called a ticking time bomb for that. And so, in a weird way, fame has helped me. I guess it's, what a fucking LA sentence of me to say, but it is true. Like, it really has. And I feel very, like, supported, and I also feel very, like, okay.
Is it weird though, like how much attention you're getting? Do you does it not faze you at all?
I've always loved to make shit about myself, so like I'm actually cool with it. Like, so a family member of mine would die, and that was like a performance opportunity for me.
Like I can sing at the funeral.
And I did. I was 7 and I sang Amazing Grace. Going into the ground, Amazing Grace. Yeah. May she rest in peace.
Do you ever get nervous that people are going to group you into the character that you play on Sex Lives and not focus on who you are individually from that character?
I lie awake at night. Okay. I worried about this before I even existed. Like, I think about the shit all the time. Like, I actually, so like for Mean Girls, like Broadway Mean Girls, not movie Mean Girls, I almost did not take that job. Like, I said no to that job a couple times because I was so scared. I was like, I don't want to be an actor. I also, just to be like super blunt, was like, I'm not a good actor at the time. I was like, I'm a terrible actor. Like, I'm good at like singing, but yeah, I'm always scared of that. I think about it constantly. Every conversation that I have is surrounding like, does this put me in too much of this way because I have to be seen as this? Because when I'm not seen as this and I'm not seen as a musician, I have a fucking panic attack.
How are you different than your character Leighton on Sex Lives of College Girls?
So personally, like, I think I have pretty sick style. I think Leighton has terrible style. Somebody said that, what was it? Oh, somebody one time said to me in an interview, and I've never been so moved by a comment ever. They were like, Leighton looks like if Nancy Reagan was a lesbian. And I was like, bro, I was like, that is the most accurate shit I've ever heard. Because, by the way, let me be so clear, that would not be a good thing. So we're very different in that way. I fucking hope. Yeah, if you ever see me wearing something that you think would be in her closet, come and punch me square in the fucking nose.
Right, there's a lot of, like, blazers and, like, turtlenecks?
A mock, if that.
A mock neck?
A mock neck, if that, and not in a hot way. Yeah, it's just not my personal style.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my personal style.
I get that.
Which also I've heard time and time again, okay, Renee, but you're an actor on a show. Like, that's kind of the whole point, is like playing another character. I'm like, yeah, this is why I was not supposed to be an actor.
Right.
I'm like, I was not supposed to do this.
Do you enjoy the show though?
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy acting.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy playing Leighton.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy like having that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy like getting to be with Aaliyah, who is my best friend on set every single day. Like, imagine like you have to go to work and you're on set for as many as like 18 hours and you have to be with your best friend. And so if anything goes wrong, your best friend is there with you because you're in the same situation. That is a godsend.
That is fucking great.
I do have to wear those tweed sets though.
Okay, love the show, but I fucking love your music.
Thanks, dude.
Congrats on the release of your new album, Everything to Everyone.
Thanks.
Deluxe Edition, which is out now. Everybody go listen.
Yeah.
What is your favorite song on the album and why?
My favorite song is In the Kitchen.
Me too.
Yeah, thanks, Zen. Thanks. My favorite song is In the Kitchen. So I started the song in February of 2021, and I was in my house and I was just like at my piano and I started just like playing, and I was like, basically I was just like getting told a lot that like I wasn't writing deep enough. And as I'm sure you've seen, I'm quite feisty, so I was like, yeah, so let me fucking go there then. Like, you want it here.
Another one of my favorite songs is Too Well.
Thanks.
And I was just wondering,
yeah,
are you down to perform today?
I would be incredibly happy to perform today.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I'm going to listen
to
you.
This is, for the record, our first time ever playing this song. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me when I am allowed to begin speaking.
You begin whenever you want to begin.
Okay. Hey, Daddy.
Hi.
So here's the thing. We'll do Too Well.
Okay.
For you.
Yeah, thank you.
Only for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's... Too Well. Let's run it up. Go, girl.
Today I woke up in a good mood for once. The first time in 6 months, I don't hate you as much. You weren't there in my dreams, I could finally sleep. It felt good, but it sucks, I don't hate you as much. It's easier holding a grudge. I'd rather be angry than crushed. I'm doing too much. I'm back where I started again, crying and calling my friends. This shit never ends. I get so sick of myself, can't stop overthinking. I heard you're happy somewhere else, but I don't forget too well. I get so sick of myself, can't stop reminiscing. I heard you're happy somewhere else, but I don't forget too well. I still see your face, I hate hearing your name. What a wreck, what a shame, I'm replaying that day. You called me at 8, 2 weeks on a break, just to ask for more space. You're my biggest mistake. It's easier holding a grudge, I'd rather be angry than crushed. I'm doing too much. I'm back where I started again, crying and calling my friends. This shit never ends. I get so sick of myself, can't stop overthinking. I heard you're happy somewhere else, but I don't forget too well. I get so sick of myself, can't stop reminiscing. I heard you're happy somewhere else, but I don't forget too well. I get so sick of myself, can't stop overthinking. I heard you're happy somewhere else, but I'm with Alex Cooper on Call Her Daddy, and I don't give a fuck where the fuck you are, motherfucker.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
Are we ready?
Rhett, I'm good.
Whenever you guys are ready.
Okay. This is Bruises. I don't know if you even know why this song is written, and I will reveal myself right now.
Please.
So Bruises, obviously I will do it, but it's a very sentimental song about feeling like all my friends make fun of me. The origin story of Bruises. Babe, I'm so sorry. The origin story of Bruises is because I was seeing this girl, and I was staying in my friend Thomas's apartment in New York, and I basically said to Thomas, I was like, guess what I did? And he was like, what? And I was like, I fucked her on your couch. But I thought, you got to understand that I didn't go to college. So I thought, I was like, oh, this is going to be like a bonding moment. Like, you know, if like your friends are like in college, like if my friend came to me and was like, I like had sex with this person on your couch, I'd be like, ah! I'd be like, tell me how it went. It wasn't received that way, which I now get in hindsight. Like, that's super weird. But I just, I don't know. I was like, I hadn't seen a girl in a while either. And so I was just so excited. I was right. I was like, this is so cute. And they didn't think that was like funny or cute. And I get that. I really do get it. And so I wrote Bruises. I know. So they were making fun of me that night, and they were like, Renee, apologize to Thomas. And I was like, guys, what? I was like, apologize for what? And they were like, for having sex on his couch and then saying it in like a confident manner. And I was like, you guys are so mean to me. And I was like, oh, my friends just, they just make so much fun of me. And that's why I wrote Bruises.
I spent 22 years of my life trying not to freak out, trying not to be needy. I go through 6 different moods at a time. I'm happy then losing my mind. Quick transition to crazy. It's not fair, I've got acetone for veins. I'm so sensitive, just when touching I feel pain. All my friends make sweet fun of me. I guess it's funny, but the truth's I bruise easily. And sometimes it be a joke. Metaphorically, though, you could flip me inside out and they would show black, purple, and green. Yeah, I bruise easily. I've spent 365 days and 52 weeks in my brain. Going over the same thing that girl said when we was in fourth grade. I take everything personally. I've always hated that about me. I've tried to be cool and chill, but it's not fair. I've got acetone for veins. I'm so sensitive. Just one touch and I feel pain. All my friends make sweet fun of me. I guess it's funny, but the truth's I bruise easily. And sure, I'm down to be the joke. Metaphorically, though, you could flip me inside out and they would show black, purple, and green. Yeah, I bruise easily. I bruise easily. Black, purple, and green. You hurt me, oh. I bruise easily. Please don't fucking swing. It hurts me. My friends make sweet fun of me. But the truth's I bruise easily. And sure, I'm down to be the joke. Metaphorically, though, you could flip me inside out and they would show black, purple, and green. Yeah, I bruise easily.
Fuck yes!
Thanks.
Renee, what the fuck?
Thanks.
Dude, you are so fucking talented. Thanks. I cannot thank you enough for coming on Call Her Daddy. The world is going to lose their shit, but I was the first one to lose my shit because it's an honor to have you on the show.
This is the most fun thing I've done in 25 years and I'm 23.
Don't stop.
This is the best.
I love you. Thank you.
Dude, thank you. I love you so much. Thank you, princess.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.